Notre Dame, with a historic tradition of excellence, welcomes you to the Jack Swarbrick Show, where we pursue all things Notre Dame athletics.
The Jack Swarbrick Show is brought to you by
Team Notre Dame Partner Spirit, Coke Zero, Under Armour, Gatorade, and is also sponsored by Xfinity. Now, the host of the Jack Swarbrick Show, Jack Nolan, on your home for Notre Dame football, 89 WLS.
Welcome to the signing day edition of the Jack Swarbrick Show, joined by my co-host Joe Schmidt and our very special guest, Coach Brian Kelly. Coach, this started off as the Jack Swarbrick Show. It became the Jack Swarbrick and Joe Schmidt Show. Last week, during the intro, my name wasn't mentioned. You know, it was just the Joe Schmidt Show.
They redid it.
And then this week I get mail. Fan mail. First fan mail I've ever gotten for my radio television show. And it said, "Dear Mr. Swarbrick, I'm delighted to hear that Joe Schmidt will be continuing on your show for the remainder of the semester. Please extend my thanks to him for his excellent leadership."
Oh, outstanding.
Oh, my gosh.
I know how that goes.
I'm like along for the ride here. Yeah. I've become a piece of furniture on my own show.
I just want to say that I had nothing to do with that letter. And yeah. I apologize.
How is your uncle?
Yeah.
I was going to say, it was a dead giveaway.
I was going to say.
The California address gave it away.
His last name is Schmidt with one letter missing.
Well, he's prior to 4 months ago, he'd never done this, and now he's like hosting the entire day here, and they let me come in for 40 minutes and then get the hell out, right?
I don't know. I just think you weren't available, so they went next down the list, and I was the end of the line.
Well, fortunately, we got the best possible guest. Coach, thanks so much for being
My
with
pleasure.
Us. Really appreciate
Absolutely.
It. And I want to get to signing day, but first of all, I want to touch on the best announcement I get to make in my job, and that was you're going to be with us for longer than the AD is probably going to be with us.
We're
thrilled to announce a 6-year.
As you know, this is a partnership, and I guess that's one of the great things is that I get a chance to work with you, and we've worked together in putting this program back to where we all believe it should be, and that's one of the top football programs in the country. So thank you for that opportunity. You've been obviously spearheading this and working with me hand in hand and getting this program back. And I think we're in a great position to continue to build it moving into the future. And, you know, we get to recruit guys like this, Joe Schmidt, on a day-to-day basis. There isn't a better place to be but to be here at Notre Dame. So thank you for the opportunity. And we can't wait for more signing days like this that we're having today.
Yeah, no, we're thrilled. And, you know, I tell the story often, but the first time you and I met to discuss your interest in this position, we spent the vast majority of that interview talking about how to build a program. Mm-hmm. And it's been so much fun to watch over the years you tackle every one of those issues. You know, we fix medical services. We fix strength conditioning. We fix nutrition. We fix the schedule so it works best for the kids relative to school and this. What are the program elements we're going to be focused on in the next few years?
I think, you know, the science piece is very important because no longer is it just about strength and conditioning. It's about durability. It's the ability to continue to play at an optimal level. But also, you know, with the rigors of a college schedule, and particularly here at Notre Dame, is how do we maximize the time, but how do we maximize in getting the most out of our student athletes and not lose them? As you know, we've had a couple of years here and a rough stretch of injuries. And how do we have an injury prevention protocol that brings in the very best science, and you've done a great job of reaching out and getting us those kind of resources. So I think tapping into that is probably the next piece, as well as providing the resources for our student athletes, you know, continuing to look at facilities, continuing to give our student athletes maybe that little edge, because everybody's got 85 scholarships. Everybody, you know, if you look at the national recruiting today, it's national with Ohio State and Michigan and Notre Dame and, you know, all over the country now are getting great student athletes. We've got to provide them the resources, and I know our university is committed to that.
Is there something other than that feel and science base that you can kind of do to monitor the pulse of a team? Because I really have never been around someone that's in a coaching position that can monitor a team so well, or is it just because of experience?
No, I think it's feedback. It's making sure that you're empowering your assistant coaches, your strength team, as Jack talked about earlier, is getting the right people in the position to give you that and share that information. I think we can do better in terms of sharing that information. But having a training staff and Rob Hunt and his staff and getting information from them and Paul Longo and his staff and getting information. Ryan Groom's in the equipment room, gaining information from him, and then, of course, our entire support staff. As much information as I can get, I'm a better leader. Mm-hmm. And I can lead better when I get more information, and I get great information from those guys.
Brian, there are all kinds of indicia of a really good program. One of them is when signing day is kind of routine.
Yes.
And today's gone according to plan, right?
It has. We've done a very good job in all areas, and it's not just the nine assistant coaches and Mike Elston spearheading us, Aaron Canty, Jasmine Johnson. They've done an incredible job in terms of the day-to-day, you know, minutia of recruiting, and there's so much that goes to it, so much. And Luke Pitcher has done a great job of taking that Notre Dame story and putting it to social media and graphics, which we have to do today. All of that is so important, but we have such a great product, and it's called Notre Dame. And so when we are able to talk about Notre Dame, there's not a lot of flipping. You know, you make a choice on Notre Dame, not because, boy, you know, it's going to be great to wear that uniform. No, you're going to choose Notre Dame, and that's like the 10th on the list. You're going to choose it because of the community and the spirit and the opportunity to get a great degree. That's why we don't have a lot of guys flipping, because they've made a conscious choice to go to Notre Dame.
You look at the class that's pretty much complete at this point. You know, maybe there'll be a little bit of change here at the end. But what can you say about this class as a whole? From what I've gathered from the assistant coaches, it's an incredibly close you know, group of guys that have already been talking, communicating. What can you say about them?
I like them. I like each
That's good.
One of them.
That's good, right?
And I got to like them, because I've got to be with them, you know, and I've been in it long enough that there has to be that component of, you know, they can't be self-centered. They've got to be guys that understand that this is a team game. There'll be plenty of time for accolades for your individual performances, but understand the team concept, understand that what they're getting into here at Notre Dame, that it's a little harder, and you're going to have to work while you're here. As a football player, each one of them has the drive to want to be the best, and they're not afraid of the bright lights. They don't mind that they're going to be on one of the grandest stages, if not the grandest stage in all of college football, and I like that about guys. So when it is their chance, Josh Adams as a true freshman to step in and perform at a high level, he's not timid. He's not afraid. You know, obviously our motto is the pride and tradition of Notre Dame football is not left to the weak, the timid, or the non-committed. I want those kind of guys, and I think we see that in all the guys we recruited.
Coach, our fans tend to look at height, weight, 40 time. Two things, though, for us, I know, are really important, and I just want your thoughts on how you evaluate them. One is fit with this place,
yep.
And the other is the potential to give us leadership, because that's the delta from year to year.
Sure. Well, first of all, the fit happens for me when they get a chance to come on campus. I don't think you really can get Notre Dame on the internet. You can get facts and figures, and those are really good. Graduation rates are very stark and when you put them up against others, and they can see that. That probably gets you on the plane, but it doesn't get you to say yes to Notre Dame until you get a chance to go around on this campus and you come back and you say there's something special about Notre Dame. And then I can tell you what's special about Notre Dame: the people, the faculty, the faith, the football, all the things that it will give you later down the line. So that's the first piece. That's important. Then from a leadership standpoint, all of these young men are making a bold decision in their life. They're leaving geographically their home spot, their safety net, and they're all coming to the place that it's a first time for them. Very few, if any, are from this zip code. And so they're coming to a place for the first time, and it's a bold initiative on their part. They could stay in their area and make it easy. So each one of them is not afraid to step out on that ledge. And I think that's the first move to being a good leader. So they have it, then we've got to go cultivate it.
You know, you look at this entire you know, list of guys, and it's obviously they have a ton of accolades between them all. How do you, because they all have to get your stamp of approval, how do you kind of decide where you need people, where you don't? Is it always a numbers game? How exactly do you decide how to build your roster?
Well, it's changed a little bit, the dynamic here in our 6 years. Now we have to count on early departures in our program, right? And be prepared for them.
Right.
You know, be prepared that a Jalen Smith is probably not coming back. Be prepared, you know, that a Will Fuller may not come back to Notre Dame. Be prepared and understanding that maybe C.J. Procise has a great year and he may not be back. So preparing for that eventuality year in advance, as well as the simply you're out of eligibility, we got to replace you. That's one. The other is being balanced to have two deep and a swing player across the board, which is essentially where we've got ourselves to. We fell a little bit behind in the back end of our defense, but we made such a stark change in defensive structure and philosophy that we went from really a 3-4 two-gap defense to a 4-3 penetrating attacking defense, which required man-to-man coverage players. And so we had to change a little bit there on the run and put more emphasis in the defensive backfield. And that's what we did this year. We've addressed it. I think moving forward now, it's just managing who's leaving, who may leave early, and making sure that we're covered in those positions.
You've been at this business longer than almost anybody because you started so much younger than anyone gets to as a head coach. Give me the biggest change you've seen over those 25, 26 plus years in the area of recruiting.
I think primarily in the recruiting area, it's probably the transparency of it. And it's both good and bad. The transparency relative to we get better information. We're able to – it was before you got VHS tapes and, you know, you had – miles and miles of tape to get through on your desk. Now you can just get online and see a clip of somebody and make some evaluations. On the other end, all that information leads to overpromotion. Maybe somebody becomes a little bit more centered on his own promotion instead of thinking about a little more team and what this could be as a university decision than just himself. So it's a little bit too much information, I think, is probably the biggest thing that I would say. I'd like it to be scaled back a little bit. Look, my feeling is if today is the biggest day of your college career, that's not a good thing.
Yeah. No, it isn't.
You would hope it's a little bit better moving forward.
Coach, thanks so much for taking the time on an incredibly busy day. We are thrilled to have you leading our program well into the future.
Thank you.
And congratulations on a great class.
Thanks, Jack. Appreciate it.
You bet. Coach. We'll be back in a minute.
Irish fans, make sure you download the official WatchND mobile app available on iOS and Android devices. The WatchND mobile app is the best way to experience great Fighting Irish digital media, video, and audio content right on your tablet or smartphone. You'll get full access to our entire video on demand library, live game and event broadcasts, live shows and press conferences, live game stats, and more. And best of all, it's free. Search for WatchND in the iTunes Store or Android Play to download the WatchND mobile app today.
Notre Dame football is on WLS.
AM 890.
Welcome back to the Jack Swarbrick Show, joined by my partner in crime, Joe Schmidt. And Joe, they said it couldn't be done. You know, we could get Father Jenkins on this show. We had Brian Kelly on this show. We couldn't, but they just said we couldn't get Mike Elston.
They said
there was no chance. And, in fact, Mike proved that earlier in the year.
He did. He stood us up twice.
Let me just set the record straight, okay? You asked me to come on in two busy weekends. Okay?
Oh, the busy weekends. Yeah. That's what it was.
Friday, the USC game, when we had 40 visitors coming. And then I think the next one was the opening game of Texas. So
I'm just saying, you know, we got the athletic director to move his show.
No.
His show.
Come on.
We moved to your office.
I'm deferring to Birch. Poor communication
to
me. That's
you know, all. I now have a clear understanding of where I stand.
Oh, come on.
Relative to your priorities, and I'm going to keep that in mind, Mike. Mike, this is a this day is a culmination of an extraordinary amount of work for you.
Yep.
Not only, of course, are you a phenomenal coach that has helped in so many ways in this program since you've been here, but now focusing on turning out phenomenal linebackers and having the challenge of coaching limited linebackers.
Thank you. We had our work cut out for us.
I'm not gonna jump into this.
Okay, you shouldn't.
But, you know, today the focus, of course, is on recruiting. And again, it's your leadership of this effort. And it's a multi-year effort to get to this day, isn't
it? It's incredible. We were talking earlier, Joe and I, about the preparation it takes to get to this point today. And we had to accelerate that process with quite a few prospects just because at this time last year, we lost some coaches. We reshuffled the recruiting staff, our recruiting department. And so we had to accelerate the growth and process really quickly. And to get to where we are today, it's been an incredible journey. And our coaches and our recruiting staff, our head coach, have just done an incredible job. So we're very blessed to be where we are right now.
It's a little like planning the Normandy invasion. As I'm on planes and buses with you guys,
right.
And you've got the charts out, and you're trying to decide who's going where.
Sure.
Give us a little insight into sort of that world.
You know, it's interesting because that strategy itself is, when do you plan who to be where based on where the kid is in his process? It's always, you know, with the recruiting being where you can only put the head coach in the high school or in the house one time throughout the whole process, it's got to be strategic. So when you have a young man that might be deciding at the Under Armour game or the Army All-American game, you need to get Brian Kelly, who's your closer, in the homes before that happens. And then there's some guys that'll go to signing day. So then you push that visit as far back as you can, but he's only got a certain amount of days in the final week to hit. So it's interesting because you have to be strategic with that, your head coach's visit. You have to get the position coaches in there at the right time, and then along with the area coaches, where you're not doing too much with one guy. And I think the strength of what we did this year was every player we went to see, we did multiple visits with different coaches, so they had multiple relationships going on. So it was more challenging for them to switch a commitment or go take another visit elsewhere. They had so many relationships built right here with this staff. And so that's the challenge strategically, is when to do what visit and making sure that you're not missing the mark on some of them.
Another challenge is probably the scope of which you have to cover the entire country. I mean, all the prospects that are in that sphere. Really, we talked a little bit about that process with an identification and evaluation, but mm-hmm. really just how many people do you look at in a calendar year for the class?
You know, that varies per year, but, you know, each position coach and recruiting coach. So I have a pretty big area. I have Ohio, Indiana. I have Kentucky, Tennessee, a good portion of Western North Carolina. And then I also have all of the linebackers that could pop up on a daily, weekly basis. So I'm looking at roughly per coach probably anywhere from 500 to 1,000 prospects in the recruiting cycle for one class. And being a recruiting coordinator, I'm going to watch maybe a few more. You know, I'm going to watch a lot more, actually.
Right.
But, you know, it's probably anywhere from 500 to 1,000. Based on how heavy your area is. So like Autry Denson, who has Florida, there's tons of prospects down there. Not all of them are fits for Notre Dame, but he's going to be looking at them early about what they can do on the football field. So he may watch a few more, or Todd Light, who has Texas, big state, lots of talent, California. Some of those guys may watch a few more, but I'd say anywhere from 500 to 1,000 guys.
And that's a unique challenge for Notre Dame. And really, from that 500 to 1,000 for each coach, and I understand that it varies per coach, but how many of those guys end up receiving offers? How many do we offer per
cycle?
Yeah,
we across the country, we offer probably less guys than anybody else, just because, you know, they have to be able to do what we want them to do on the football field. They have to pass the academic background check, the character check that we have to grind through with the coaches that know them and that have spent the time with them. You know, their high school coaches, and then you're looking at a medical background. I mean, all the things have to jive, and then they have to want to come to campus. So the biggest challenge for us, once we identify those four things, are great. Let's get them to campus. Let's spend a day with them and see if they're fit for us. And not everybody makes it to campus. So.
Right.
You know, that we don't offer that as many as other schools offer.
Mike, a lot of talent in this class.
And, yes.
And on the defensive side of the ball in particular.
Right.
Talk a little bit about some of
absolutely.
The young men who you'll be coaching and others on the defensive staff
yeah.
will be.
You know, well, we set out this cycle just to try to build relationships with a lot of guys so we can get in the game, because we were late on most of them. And what we identified was, we need to get the back end of our defense right. We played in three critical games this year: Clemson, Ohio State, and USC. And Joe, you know, we didn't even put a nickel We didn't even put a nickel on the field. We didn't have one.
Yep.
So this class on defense is overloaded with talent in the back end of our defense. Big guys, fast guys, athletic guys, guys that can play inside corner, outside corner, nickel, can do all kinds of jobs for us. We've got some very strong safeties that'll be good candidates to also come in and get in the depth. But, I mean, with eight DBs in this class and guys that can do multiple positions, both corner and safety, that was a need for us, and I think we got it right in this class. So that was a big need. And then the other phase of it was we got to get right on pass rush. So the guys are back there covering. They're doing a great job. But then when the quarterback has all day, Joe, you know, then it's a tough day for those DBs. So we had to be able to get guys that can create pressure on the quarterback, which we feel like we did with Dalen Hayes and Julian Okora and Jameer Jones, guys that can add pass rush ability. Jonathan Jones is going to be a great addition there. I just watched the International Bowl that he played in, had a couple sacks, hurries on the quarterback, just an incredible athlete. So we're going to be better there. And then, you know, to go back to the DBs, you know, we got two mid-year guys that should be able to help us right away, and Spencer Perry and Devin Studstill. They're going to be great additions to the back end at the safety position. And then with Dante Vaughn, a 6'2" corner that's played at highest level, great football, great competition. We got corners like Troy Pride Jr., who's going to be incredible, can do so many different things. And help me out here, who I'm missing with the corner position. There's a couple.
Dante Vaughn.
Talked about Troy Pride. Julian Love.
Jalen Elliott.
Yeah, Jalen Elliott's incredible. He can play safety. He can play corner. He could be a nickel. He can do so many different jobs. And then you've got Julian Love just right up the street who, you know, I mean, he's just an incredible athlete, can do so many things. So to put a synopsis on it, I think we got it right in the back end of our defense. For really numbers-wise, where it can affect both special teams and defense, we've really done a nice job.
I'm not gonna mention the name of the school that's trying to make a huge splash on signing day, but for you, you know, you are familiar with that place. What was it that drew you to Notre Dame and made you a Notre Dame man? Why are you still here after 6 years? What makes this place so special to you?
Well, the thing that I love about it is I set it down when I was doing the overall interview with the media. Number one, it takes you a while to understand what this place is about. Like, people said they saw a change in Brian Kelly this year, or they saw a difference in his recruiting style. And really, all I can attest that to is Ben, which is 6 years now. You finally understand what this place is about. It takes a while. There's a lot of things to take in. We spent year one and year two apologizing for what we see now as our distinctions. You know, a kid has to live in a dorm for a couple years longer here than they do somewhere else. You know, you have to actually go to class here and earn a grade. So, you know, you're trying to sugarcoat this with recruits, where now it's not an apology. This is what separates us. This is what's going to hit your brain when you come here. So it's a selective group of guys that when they get here, they either fall in love with that or they don't want a part of that. So guys will fall off right away when they leave our campus and don't even want to talk to us anymore, which is great. But this hits my brain here because it fits into exactly what I'm interested in, which is a Catholic education. My kids are going to a Catholic school. You don't need to be Catholic to appreciate that, but it's a regimen. It's detailed. It's got its tradition and history here that's just unmatched with anything, and it's just an exceptional school to be a part of with great support with Coach Mr. Zwarbrick and then Coach Kelly. So what keeps me here is the support and the love and the consistency on campus, the camaraderie, the community. It's just a special place to be.
Mike, among the people you coach is a very capable recruiting staff of people who have worked very hard to support our efforts in recruiting. How about just calling a little attention to them for us?
Definitely. Well, I'd love to start with our recruiting office, which we completely revamped when Coach Kelly tabbed me as the recruiting coordinator. We hired Aaron Carney. He's responsible for all the day-to-day operations within the office. He does such a fantastic job with unofficial visits, official visits. He has all the contacts of all the important people on campus. Adam Sargent, they do such a fantastic job when we finally get somebody here. Adam Sargent and his team. So Aaron does a great job of on-campus stuff. And then you've got his assistant, really, Jasmine Johnson, who runs all of our student worker program, our ambassador program. So when a young man is here on campus, he's able to see the campus and meet people because we facilitate that visit with a great student body. And then you've got Dave Poloquin, who we've identified his role, and he's really flourished this year in that role of he's responsible for the 85-man roster with Coach Kelly setting the numbers, who, how many guys we're going to recruit at a certain position, and then helping with the evaluation process of identifying who should Mike Elston be watching. I don't have to sift through 500 guys as much as, okay, Dave says these are the 50 guys you need to watch at linebacker. Okay, so he does a great job with that, and he also does our admissions for us. And then we had a full-time graphic designer / social media director, which is Lucas Pitcher. He's done a great job. And then I think that covers all of our recruiting staff. And then obviously with the addition of a guy like Autry Denson and Todd Light, who know what Notre Dame is about, they've been great additions. And then the recruiting, the whole staff itself with Harry Hestand, who just kills it with the offensive line, and you know, building relationships very early with the underclassmen. He does such a great job. And I mean, I could name off all the other coaches too, but I think we've got a great staff that has great camaraderie and that can really send the message that Brian Kelly wants and the consistency of that and what we're about.
Well, Mike, and thanks for your leadership of that. It's culminated in a very successful day. Thanks for joining us.
Thank
really
you
appreciate
for
you
me.
On a busy day finding time to join us. It was worth the wait.
Seriously.
It was great. We'll be
took a lot.
We will be back in a minute. Thank you.
The Fighting Irish play here. WLS. AM 890.
Welcome back to the Jack Swarbrick Show. We're thrilled to have you all with us today on a very special signing day here at Notre Dame. Started with the head coach. We had a defensive coach, and now we've got an offensive guru with us.
Guru. Coach, he's a guru now.
Coach Mike Sanford.
Don't believe it. Don't believe the hype.
Penn High School legend.
Yes.
Two career pass attempts there. Yeah. I was going to ask you, what's the most memorable moment from the Penn High School days?
I think it was probably the third rep that I got of my four reps in being there for 2 years. I think the third rep was against Elkhart Central in a playoff game that we won by roughly 55 points. I ran bootleg right was the play. Just a very elaborate scheme. I got a little bit gun shy. Threw the ball away, and I got my head slammed right into the turf. And I think I experienced my first concussion.
Oh my gosh.
And I didn't tell anybody. I toughed it out and had a little bit of a headache for the next couple weeks. So that's my great
But
memory.
We went right on bootleg right.
We did. Yeah, I faked left even. It was great.
I mean, look at you, man. That's pretty impressive
it
out
was.
Of you.
It was. I remember my third rep being really a memorable one of the four. So
That was the start of great things.
And then the Los Alamitos Griffins, and the rest is history.
Now
we're here at signing day. So
here we are.
A big day for you. Obviously, we got a tremendous recruit coming in at quarterback. And I know we've talked privately about how much you really like him. As a prospect, tell us about the recruiting process maybe for Ian and what Ian Book can kind of bring to the table.
You know, I think Ian Book, first of all, is he's a competitive young man, and that's the number one thing we were looking for in our 2016 quarterback. We don't want somebody who's going to come in and expect the keys to be handed to him, no matter what kind of player we're bringing in at any position. And I think that Ian himself is a guy that's going to come in here and fight tooth and nail for 4 to 5 years to be the guy. And he's going to come in with a massive chip on his shoulder because he doesn't have that same star ranking that a lot of these kids in the country have. But in terms of what my belief and Coach Denbrock and Coach Kelly's belief about this player is that he brings everything that we want at that position to be able to run our offense the way we want to run it. This is a great football player. This isn't just a 6'5" prototype that can make all the throws. This is a guy that can run. He'll make tough runs to get you first downs and move the sticks. He's a 72.5% completion quarterback this year. So he's extremely accurate. He makes all the throws. And the thing I really like about him as a player, and I've seen him throw 8-9 times in person just over the course of the last 3 years. I've had a chance to watch him throw, and he makes every throw, and he does what he wants with the football. And I think that's a big thing, is he manipulates the football to do what he wants it to do. So there's not going to be a ton of coaching going on in terms of his throwing process, and that's exciting.
Now, geographically, we sort of throw you into the lion's den, right? Mm-hmm. We have you out in California a lot. Quarterbacks wherever they are, but also out in California. How do you build the relationships out there where you're coming in from two-thirds of the way across the country?
Well, you know, the thing that's been good for me is just having lived there for over half my life in California. And I think, like a guy like Joe Schmidt here, instantly we had some things that common ground to talk about when I first got here at Notre Dame. And, Bear Flag Fish Tacos. Yeah,
there you go, man. The best fish tacos in the absolute world, man.
There's no doubt. And we had that every year on vacation. So those types of things, just knowing the area, knowing the powerhouse football programs in the area, knowing the coaches, and just being able to relate to the players, I think that's the number one thing. And I've been very fortunate from all the different moves that I've had. I've gotten to know a good chunk of this country, and California being probably the number one place that I've spent a good chunk of my time. So that common ground of living there, working there, and even raising my kids there for a few years has really helped.
You know, thinking about all the different places you've been, just talking with you, you love South Bend. You love Notre Dame.
And
it's I think it's thrown around a lot in the media, your name here or there, but you seem so comfortable here. What is it about Notre Dame that kind of just makes you want to be here?
It's funny. I did grow up in the same area that you did, 8 years, 10 years actually, in Orange County, California, which many would argue is probably the greatest place to live in the United States. But in all honesty, when I really look back at my two most enjoyable years of high school and, kind of that coming of age years of your life, it was here in the Michiana area. Some of the best friendships that I've developed were from people that grew up here, even outside of Notre Dame, people that are, that grew up in Mishawaka and South Bend, guys that were in my wedding. I think the one thing that really sticks out about this area, even apart from Notre Dame, which speaks for itself, is just the community. The people here are like-minded to me and my family. They care about the values we care about, and I feel like it's a great place to feel like Peyton and Gunner can really be raised in a great environment that's conducive to the things that we believe in.
Mike, you in talking about Ian, you talked about the ability to make all the throws and the ability to run. You have great insights into those skill sets, but for this place, fit is a big deal. Mm-hmm. When you're trying to assess that in a young man and whether they're likely to fit and succeed here, given all the demands of this place, what are you looking for?
Well, I think number one is they have to come here and physically see this place and live it, and even sit in a quarterback meeting just to see if that's something that they're willing to embrace. And I even told Ian that before, we didn't even offer him a scholarship till I said, hey, come out here, be around Notre Dame, spend some time with Coach Kelly, and just see how it hits your brain. So I think actually bringing them to this place and all the different landmarks on campus that they know, how does that affect them? Is it affect them in a way that makes them be a little bit intimidated? Which really has happened for us on a couple of occasions in the last year. We bring a quarterback in here, and you can see that they get big eyes. Just even seeing the touchdown Jesus, it freaks them out. Like, man, I've seen that my whole life. But knowing Ian, bringing him around here and just seeing him light up and seeing him carry himself with his body composition in a way that he felt, you can tell he felt very comfortable, very confident that he could be successful here. It became very apparent that he's the right fit early on.
You mentioned Peyton and Gunner. Introduce us to the Sanford family. Tell us a little bit about your family.
Well, I've been married now coming up on 11 years, my wife, Anne Marie, grew up just a couple miles away from Stanford's campus, and so she, ironically, she too shares the same sentiments I do about the South Bend area. Maybe it has to do with this winter that we're experiencing, or lack thereof, but she's been awesome. She's made 9 moves with me and knowing me for 13 years, so she's been a real trooper, to say the least. We had our first daughter was Peyton, named after Peyton Manning, of course, my favorite quarterback of all time. If we were having a boy, Anne Marie was going to name him Brady. Girl was Peyton, so we went with the quarterback names the first go-round. And Peyton's a kindergartner here in town and absolutely loves her school. It's been great. And then Gunner is
the gun show.
He's a guy now. he's going to play for Coach Hestand someday. He's a physical player, likes to put his hand in the ground. He lives in a stance right now. Wants absolutely nothing to do with throwing the football. Throws it sidearm at best. No, Gunner's awesome. He's named after my grandfather, who's from Denmark, and it was my middle name growing up. So definitely an important member of my family to bring honor to with naming him Gunner.
You mentioned your wife being a trooper. Aren't I correct that so much so we actually sort of managed a birth around a football game? Little thing. Little thing.
Well, yeah. Both times we've had our, you know, Peyton and Gunner. There's been a lot of drama surrounding it. So with Gunner most recently, she agreed to date night Thursday to be induced. So instead of us going to Chili's and having a nice rack of baby back ribs, we went to the hospital and induced labor. And of course during the induction process, I'm sitting there and I hate to admit this, I'm actually working on the call sheet on the game plan.
Oh my gosh!
Not during active, waiting. There's like a lot of waiting.
I got
that
you.
Happens.
Okay, yeah, totally. Because so, that's more.
I want to clear the air on that one. It's like it wasn't go time.
You know, there's not a lot of clearing you can do actually on that.
You're in trouble.
Yeah. Also, did we win?
Oh, the best game of the year last year against Colorado State. I think we had like 684 yards of total offense or something along those lines. So it was a good day. So what I learned is under prepare. Be heavily distracted, and you know, the offense can play better. So right.
I used that strategy when I took the LSAT. We got for our fans listening on radio and watching the video. Joe has been hosting his own show all day long,
yeah.
And he has a special treat for some of his guests. And we're going to turn it over to you to close out this segment.
So
Joe,
here we go. Basically, we call this the hot topic, Coach Sanford. And I know you've cheated a little bit, so we changed some of the questions for you. But basically, it's 16, obviously, for the class of 2016, rapid-fire questions that you need to answer honestly as possible. Are you ready?
I'm not ready, but I'm ready.
All right, we call this the hot topic. Number one, would you rather go for one or two?
Two.
Receive or defer?
Receive.
Adele or T. Swift?
Neither.
Okay. That's not part of the game.
T. Swift.
If you were...
You mean Taylor Swift?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, Taylor Swift. Sorry, I was thinking a new R&B act. T. Swift.
All right, enough. If you were a type of food, what would you be?
Broccoli.
Why?
Just really...
No, you gotta go on, man.
Full of fiber.
Okay, what's your spirit... What's one word to define you? I'm sorry.
Passionate.
Okay. Andrew Luck, Cameron Newton.
Andrew Luck.
Okay. If you were an 80s music icon, who would you be?
Billy Idol.
Favorite song?
White Wedding.
Right?
We'll go with it. Yeah. We'll go with it. Yeah.
Southern or Northern California?
Northern California.
Get out.
Giants.
Would you rather be Coach Brian Kelly or Jack Swarbrick for the day?
Jack Swarbrick.
Boxers or briefs?
Boxers.
Go-to dance move?
Crip walking.
If your life was a movie, what actor plays you?
I'd say probably Leguizamo. John Leguizamo. Is that a name?
Yeah. No idea. Best looking Notre Dame coach?
Oh, without question, it's Mike Denbrock. Great looking man.
If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
I think just reading minds.
Okay. And, hey, Coach, where are you ticklish?
Huh?
Where are you ticklish, man?
If you ever touch me, we will come to close. And I know you're out of shape right now, so I got a shot.
The dad bod, I think I could take.
No,
that's the hot topic, Coach Sanford.
Hey,
thank you very much for participating.
Radio at its finest. Coach, thanks so much for being with us. It was a pleasure. Congratulations on all your success.
Appreciate it.
Love having you with us. We'll be back in 1 minute.
Notre Dame football is on WLS.
AM 890.
Now, you started a bit of a tradition today, and we're going to close out with that. This is your... The hot topics. I foolishly agreed to be your last victim for this question. So let's, as we head into Brian Kelly's press conference, I'm ready. Let's go.
Let's have some fun here. So this is 16 questions for the class of 2016. He answers as honestly and as fast as he possibly can.
I said nothing about honesty.
So here we go. Number one, Broncos or Panthers?
Broncos.
Phillips Norelco or Braun for your electric razor?
Braun.
Favorite Marvel superhero?
Superman.
Okay. Candy or flowers on Valentine's Day for your wife?
Both.
That's a good man. Better Notre Dame linebacker, Manti Te'o or Joe Schmidt?
Manti Te'o.
Who makes the best iced tea and why?
I'm a Panera guy. At home is the best, but it's all about the lemons.
Also smart man again. Cam Newton or Steph Curry?
Oh, Steph. Under Armour. Two great Under Armour guys, but I'll go with Steph.
West Wing or House of Cards?
West Wing.
Good choice. Define your sock game in five works or less.
S-O-C-K,
sock
game?
Yes, your socks that you're on right now.
Strong and non-traditional.
I like it. Brian Kelly's best quality?
Ability to work with me.
Grass or turf?
Grass.
Who wins in a Bengal Bounce competition, Mike Bray or Brian Kelly?
Oh, man. Muffet McGraw.
Blue suit, you wear brown or black shoes?
Black.
Better stubble, you or Sean Connery?
Sean, I'm sorry to say.
Twitter or Instagram?
My talents are limited, but I'll go with Twitter.
Okay, and then shaken or stirred, sir?
Oh, stirred.
Amen. You just completed the Hot Topic. Thank you so much for your participation.
Thanks for all you did today to make this great for our fans. Thanks to everybody.
Thanks for being with us.
This has been the Jack Swarbrick Show, brought to you by Team Notre Dame Partners, Sprint, Coke Zero, Under Armour, Gatorade, and is also sponsored by Xfinity. Listen this time every week for everything Notre Dame Athletics, the Jack Swarbrick Show, on your home for Notre Dame football, 89 WLS.